Good evening and thank you for joining. Good evening and thank you for joining. This week's Parsha is a very exciting Parsha, Parshas Achremos Kedoshim. The first half of Achremos deals with the service of Yom Kippur, the core of it being the Kohen Gadol and his once a year opportunity to enter into the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holiest of Holies, first with Ktores, with incense, and then with special offerings. The second half of Achremos actually deals with marital purity, all the prohibited incest relationships. And Parshas Kedoshim, the first half, deals with many, many laws, laws of good behavior, not to bear a grudge, to be a loving person, to love the converts. And then the end of Parshas Kedoshim, we merit to have the punishments for the violations that we heard about in the end of Parshas Achremos. I saw a very beautiful thought. Why is it that on Yom Kippur, we begin with reading, the reading of the day of Yom Kippur begins with the service of Achremos, and the end of Yom Kippur deals with the punishments. Mincha reading is the punishments for the violations of the marital relation prohibitions. And the answer is that Yom Kippur begins with the service of the Kohen Gadol. So we read about the Kohen Gadol's service, and then we realize that not only does the Kohen Gadol have a special service when he enters the Beis HaMikdash, but each one of us in our personal life, when we maintain a life of Kedusha and Tahara, we merit to make our own home into a little Beis HaMikdash. So we have to first start with the service of the Kohen Gadol, and then we merit to move on to focus on our own personal service. So I'd like to share some beautiful ideas on the Parsha that I saw, actually most of them from my father's teacher of Soloveitchik, of blessed memory. The Parsha begins with Hashem telling Moshe, Daber al Aaron achicha, tell Aaron your brother, v'al yavo b'chol eis al ha-kodesh. He should not enter at every time into the holiest area. Only certain times can he go into the holy area. Mibes la paroches, past the paroches. Rather, bezos yavo Aaron al ha-kodesh. With the following, with ktores and special karbanos, then Aaron can enter into the Kodesh HaKodashim. The Gemara in Masechet Yoma, the Masechet all about Yom Kippur, which we actually have the privilege of learning now in Daf Hayomi, together with the rest of the Jewish people, the Gemara teaches that before the Kohen Gadol would get to do his service on the 10th day of Tishrei on Yom Kippur, he would have an entire week where he was separated from his family and he was preparing for the service, an entire week where he was in a special chamber called the Lishkas Parhedrin. And there he had Torah scholars reviewing with him the laws of Yom Kippur, and he was preparing for the privilege of doing the service on Yom Kippur. What was the source for this week of preparation? So the Gemara quotes two ideas. One idea is that this is derived from the Miluim. When the Mishkan was first put up, it was a week of Moshe practicing and showing how the service is done. And during that week, Aaron would be clothed in the garments of Kahuna, and there was blood sprinkled on him. And then after that week, Aaron took over, and he started to serve as Kohen Gadol on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, by Yom HaShmini. So just like there was a week of preparation for one day of service, so too, they learned from there that before Yom Kippur, before the one day of service, there has to be a week of preparation. And the other idea that the Gemara mentions is that Moshe Rabbeinu, before he merited to be called by Hashem, to be summoned and to rise to a very high level in heaven, when getting the Torah at Har Sinai, he had to be separated and consecrated for 6 days. So we learn from there that before one enters the camp of the Shekhinah, there has to be a separation, and that was the source for Aaron and later the Kohanim Gedolim having a week of preparation before Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur, they would merit to enter into the Kodesh HaKadashim, the Holiest of Holies. They would merit to enter into the area of the Shekhinah, There has to be a week of preparation before. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that these are two very different concepts. One is that it's really part of the service. The same way Kohen Gadol, Aaron Kohen Gadol, to do service had to have a week of initiation, that source is saying that for the service of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he needs to have a week of initiation. The other perspective is that it's not really about the service, but it's about the place. The same way Moshe Rabbeinu needed a consecrating period before he could enter into God's place, the place of the divine presence, before Aaron could enter into the holiest of holies, he also needed a week of preparation and sanctification to enter into a holy place. Rav Soloveitchik argued that if we look in the verses here, the verse doesn't say the Kohen Gadol does the service. The verse says that Aaron does the service. Bezos yavo Aharon el HaKodesh. And perhaps the week of preparation as part of the service is that this week is to make the Kohen Gadol into a different person. He gets transformed into an Aharon. He becomes the embodiment of Aharon. He has added sanctity, and this added sanctity requires a week of consecration, a week to become a holier person. We find that normally the holy objects have to be in clay sharis, into holy vessels. The blood has to be caught in a clay sharis, in a holy vessel. But on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has in his hands the spices, the incense, the ktores. And he actually pours the ktores from the ladle into his hands, and then from his hands onto the coals that are in the pan, in the Kodesh HaKodashim. I understand, his hands are not a kli sharis. The answer is his hands themselves become a kli sharis. Through the week of prisha, through the week of preparation, he becomes a different person. And as a different person, he becomes an Aaron type of person. And in addition to being an Aaron type of person, his very body itself becomes a kli sharis. And that's why he needs a whole week of hakdasha, a week of prisha, a week of preparing to become a kli sharis. The verse continues to say, Bezos yavo Aaron al HaKodesh, this is how Aaron will come into the holy, bringing the parben bakar l'chatas, the ayal ola, the bull as a sin offering, the ayal as a, the ram as an ola offering, and kesones bad kodesh yilbash, a long tunic of linen which is holy, he will wear. Umichnasei bad yiyu al b'saro, he will have pants that are linen. Bavnit bad yachgor, he'll wear a belt of linen. Uvmitznefes bad yitznof, and he will wear a hat which is linen. Bigdei kodesh hem, these are holy garments. V'rachatz b'mayim es b'saro levesham, and he's to wash his flesh in water and then wear these holy garments. So the verse says that when Aaron enters into the holiest of holies on Yom Kippur, he's not dressed in the normal outfit of the Kohen Gadol. He's not wearing the breastplate. He's not wearing the headband. He's wearing four garments, all of linen. And the verse is very interesting. On the one hand, it says that all the garments are Bigdei Kodesh, but the verse says in particular, Ksones Bad Kodesh Yilbash, a tunic of holy linen he will wear. Michnesei Bad Yiyu Al Basaro, pants of linen. Vavneit Bad Yachgor, a belt of linen. Uvmitznefes Bad Yitznof, and a hat of linen. But it doesn't say, Mitznefes Bad Kodesh, Michnasayim Bad Kodesh, Avnet Bad Kodesh, only about the Kesones, only about the long tunic, does the verse identify it as Kesones Bad Kodesh, a tunic of linen which is holy. So Rav Soloveitchik answered in the name of the Netziv. The Netziv explains that when you have Torah written on parchment, there's a different level of Kedusha. You can have a mezuzah, you can have tefillin, and you can have a Sefer Torah. All of them are written on parchment. Now, a mezuzah has less kedusha than tefillin, and tefillin has less kedusha than a Sefer Torah. Because in the Torah, you have the whole Torah written in a Sefer Torah. In tefillin, you only have four parshios. In a mezuzah, you only have two parshios. So the more Torah you have, the more Kedusha there is. So too says the Netziv, the body of the Kohen Gadol was like a Sefer Torah. And so the pants, they just covered the legs. The hat just covered the head. The belt just covered the belly. But the ksonas, the long tunic, that covered most of the body. So since it covered most of the body, it is like a Sefer Torah relative to the tefillin and mezuzah, and therefore it's defined as ksonas bad kodesh. This is defined as the tunic, which is holy. One of the very powerful acts of service of Yom Kippur was the offering of the nation. The nation would have two goats, equal in size, appearance, height, and they would be brought out, and the Kohen Gadol would have to pick lots. On one of the goats, the lot saying LaHashem would come out for God. On the other goat, the lot saying LaAzazel to the wilderness would come out. The Sayer LaHashem would be slaughtered. Its blood would end up sprinkled, would end up being sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Sayer LaAzazel would wait for a while. And eventually the Sayer LaAzazel would be given to an Ish Iti, to a man who would take it out. And he would bring it out to a tzuk, to a cliff, and there he would drop it off the cliff and it would roll down. There is a special power to the Sayer LaAzazel. Sayer LaAzazel, the Rambam tells us, has the ability to atone for all the sins of the Jewish people. The only sins that it does not atone for are sins that carry with them the penalty of kares, of being cut off. But other than the sins of kares, all the sins of the Jewish people are wiped away with the Sayer LaAzazel, the goat sent to the wilderness. What's the symbolism of two similar goats, one going LaHashem and one going to the wilderness? So I heard from my teacher, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik's brother. He said that there's an apocryphal or famous tale about a great master of literature who shows a painting of two babies, and he says to somebody, what's going to be with these babies? The person said, it looked to me both the same, but in the end they were not both the same. One ended up being very righteous and one ended up not being righteous. And the message of the story was, many times what happens to a person is not so much based on their nature but more based on their nurture. It's based on all sorts of factors from the outside that impacts a person. So the two goats, they look the same, and yet one goes LaHashem, and the other goes LaAzazel, goes to the wilderness. And maybe the message is that so often many of the sins that we do are really because of all sorts of external influences. Sometimes it's the friends that a person has, the neighbors that a person has, the things that a person reads, and they influence the person. Really the person himself, there's a certain goodness to him. But because of the influences from the outside, he ended up doing the wrong things. And that's symbolized by the two goats really looking the same. They both could end up LaHashem. But based on the lots, based on the fortune, based on the external circumstances, one ends up going LaHashem and one ends up going LaAzazel. That arouses a certain sense of mercy. Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, he has a different approach. He suggests that the idea of the two goats that are basically the same, one going LaHashem and one going LaAzazel, is really a message to all the people watching. It's the message that in life we have to make choices. And many times we find all sorts of rationalizations to justify the choice that's most convenient but may not be the one that's most correct. So for example, it can easily happen that a person is solicited to give tzedakah, and a person says to himself, I can't give tzedakah. I need to save the money for myself, for my family, what's going to be. And a person starts to rationalize in his own mind that really it's the biggest and most wonderful thing not to give tzedakah. Really, we know the right thing is to give tzedakah. So it's very hard to overcome the sense of rationalization. Through rationalizations, what is really objectively the wrong thing in a person's mind, he considers it the right thing and the correct thing and the thing that he should go out and do. And therefore, the message of the two goats is that many times there are choices in front of us. And because of our rationalizations, we think that they're both equally good. This is a good approach and that's a good approach. They're both equally good. I don't know how to choose. So here's a way to test. The Sar LaHashem gets slaughtered right away. The Sar LaAzazel is spared, doesn't get slaughtered. If one approach in the short term is more difficult, and the other approach in the short term is more indulgent, convenient, and easy, that means that the more correct approach is the approach that in the short term is more difficult. Think about what happens in the long term. In the long term, the blood of the Sar LaHashem ends up in Kodesh HaKodashim, whereas the goat that goes LaAzazel gets dropped off of a cliff and it rolls down the cliff and just falls apart. We have to think about what is good in the long term. In the long term, the Sar LaAzazel ends up being a disaster, and the Sar LaHashem ends up being before Hashem. And that's how we know what's the right choice. The right choice is the thing that in the long term will be good, even if in the short term it's more difficult, whereas that which in the short term is more convenient is frequently not that which will ultimately be rewarding and in the long term be a source of joy. And when people see that, see the power of choices and how similar they are and how we have to choose one over the next, hopefully that inspires people and gives them the strength to make the right choices. And that's what creates this tremendous kapara, this tremendous atonement for the entirety of the Jewish nation. Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his Tshuva Drashos, suggested that the Rambam's language, the Rambam says, Sar Mishtaleach, Lefishi Kapara Al Kol Yisrael, because it's an atonement for the entirety of the Jewish people. What the Rambam means to say is that the Sar Mishtaleach, the goat sent to the wilderness, like any other communal offering, was actually purchased by the shekels given by the entire nation, and it belonged to the entire nation. So when this goat was offered, a person was reminded that he's a member of the nation. And when he's a member of the nation, then he will certainly get kapara, he will get atonement. Hashem has a very special affection for Klal Yisrael. If somebody had a sin of kares, a sin which cuts him off from the nation, then he may not be able to merit atonement because he's not considered a part of the nation. But if he's a part of the nation, then he will succeed in gaining the atonement that the Sar Mishtaleach gives to the entirety of Klal Yisrael. The pasuk goes on to say, V'chol adam lo yiyeh ba'ol mo'ed. No man can be in the tent of meeting. V'va'ol chaper ba'kodesh ad seiso. When Aaron enters into the Kodesh HaKodashim to create atonement, to offer the ketores, to sprinkle the blood, no man can be there. And according to Chazal, no man is a reference to the Malachim. Even the Malachim can't be with Aaron in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Just the Kohen Gadol himself. Soloveitchik explained that the verse says in Shir HaShirim, Tse'eno re'ena benos tzion v'melech shlomo, v'atara shi'itra lo imo b'yom chasunaso v'yom simchas libo. Go out and see, daughters of Zion, and admire King Shlomo. See the crown that his mother made for him on the day of his wedding and on the day of the joy of his heart. So the Medrash says, b'yom chasunaso, the day of his wedding, that's a reference to Har Sinai. Yom Simchas Libo, the day of the joy of his heart, that's a reference to the Chanukah Samishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan. Explains Rav Soloveitchik, in Halacha, there are two stages to a marriage. The first stage is what we call Kiddushin, and in the Gemara it was called Erusin, and that's where the husband gives a ring to his wife and says to her and declares, Harei at mekudeshes li b'tzava azo, Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. Behold, you are consecrated to me through this ring, like the law of Moshe and Israel. That's the first half of marriage. In the times of the Gemara, there was a year delay after that. And a year later, after the husband had already built a house, then the husband would bring his wife into the house. There'd be a whole big party. They would make a meal. It'd say Sheva Brachos. And that would be the Nisuin, the next stage of the marriage. Nowadays, we don't want to have married women waiting for a whole year. So right after the Erusin, we, under the chuppah, recite the Sheva Brachos, and we have the Nisuin right under the chuppah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu married Klal Yisrael. The Erusin is the experience at Har Sinai. The Nisuin is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu built or enabled us to complete the Mishkan. Now, we all know there's a third stage. The third stage in marriage is the Yichud Room. The Yichud Room is when the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom HaKippur. Just like you can't have anybody else in a Yichud Room, in the Yichud Room, when the Kohen Gadol enters the Holiest of Holies on Yom Kippur, the Chal Adam lo yiyeh ba'ol mo'ei b'vo'ol l'chaper ba'kodesh. No person can be there when he enters into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because this is a moment of Yichud. So in the moment of Yichud, if you have any other presence, it ruins that intimacy, and that's not possible. My Rebbe Rav Wolfson explained, this can explain what we find in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. We had a very big problem in the times of the second temple with the Sadducees, the Tzedukim. The Tzedukim were a heretical sect that did not believe and accept the oral traditions, the Torah Shebaal Peh. They would read the text and make a decision based on what the text seemed to say to them. They had different understandings of the Torah Shebichsav than we did. Most of all, they rejected the oral Torah. Yom Kippur was a day of great conflict with the Tzedukim, because the Tzedukim argued that first, when the Kohen Gadol is standing outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he should put the incense on top of the coals, and then he should walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the incense smoke already rising from the pan, so that he's literally walking in with a pan of coals and incense all surrounding him. Whereas we, based on our traditions of the Oral Torah and Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, we see that that's not correct. The Kohen Gadol walks in with a ladle of incense. In the other hand, he has a pan with coals. He puts the pan down in the Kodesh HaKadoshim next to the Holy Ark. And there he pours the incense on top of the pan. And the whole offering of the Ketores, the whole experience of the incense, first starts in the Holiest of Holies. He does not enter with incense. He enters with incense that's not smoke yet. It's just the spices, and then he pours the spices on the coals when he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now the Tzedukim, they argue that this is a sign of disrespect. You know, who would go in front of a king and in front of the king start cooking the meal? First you prepare the meal, and then you bring it out on a tray in front of the king. I said, here the Kohen Gadol is bringing to the King of Kings Ketores. He shouldn't start his preparations in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He should prepare outside in the Kodesh and then bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what's our response to that? Our response to that is this idea that on Yom Kippur, it's the culmination of the relationship with Hashem. The relationship may have started on Shavuos, Matan Torah, with the Kiddushin, with the Erusin. Then we had the building of the Mishkan on the first day of Nisan. That's the Nisuin. That's the building of the home. But then we have the Yichud. The Yichud is Yom Kippur. And when there's Yichud, when there is a bond between husband and wife, there's a familiarity, it's not embarrassing for the wife to prepare in front of her husband. It's not that the wife has to prepare outside and bring something prepared to her husband. They're close to each other. They feel intimate with each other. And that feeling of closeness enables the wife to prepare in the husband's presence and enables the Kohen Gadol to enter into the Kodesh HaKodashim with just the raw materials, with just the pan of the coals and the Ketores, and to pour the Ketores in the Kodesh HaKodashim in front of God himself. Maybe this relates also to the whole idea of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Oral Torah. The Tzedukim deny that there is an Oral Torah. Maybe they argue God is so great, he's not going to give man a chance to be a partner with God, to try to understand based on questions, new answers. God is beyond. And therefore man, when he approaches the Torah, has to view it as something which is beyond. Take it literally, but it's beyond us. And we say, no, the relationship that we merit to have with Hashem is a relationship of closeness. Anu amecha v'at Elokeinu, we are your nation and you are our God, but also Anu ra'yasecha, we are your beloved, v'at dodenu, and you are the one who loves us, as we say in the piyutim of Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we feel a great closeness with the Almighty. And feeling this tremendous closeness, this familiarity, enables us to enter into the Kodesh HaKodashim and there start preparing. And also that since we're so close, Hashem has entrusted His Torah to the great sages of the Masorah. Hashem has given His Torah to Klal Yisrael, and through the interpretations of the great sages of the Oral Torah, the sages are actually partners with Hashem in revealing the will of Hashem to this world. And it's actually an aspect of the great affection that Hashem has for the Jewish people, that He allows the Jewish people and enables us to partner with Him in the experience of His Torah and the understanding of His Torah. I saw a fascinating story that Rav Soloveitchik related. The Torah says at the end of its discussion of the of Yom Kippur, or towards the end of its discussion of Yom Kippur, it says, "Vayisal lachem l'chukas olam." This should be for you an eternal law. B'chodesh hashvi, on the seventh month, be'asor lachodesh, on the tenth of the month, te'anuas nafshos ichem, you should afflict yourselves. V'chol melachah lo ta'asu, don't do any melacha. Ha'ezrach, both the citizen, v'ager agar besochachem, and the stranger who lives with you. So the Torah says, te'anuas nafshos ichem, you should afflict yourselves. Now when we think of afflictions of Yom Kippur, we think of what the Gemara says in the end of the Masechet Yoma, that there are five afflictions: not to eat, not to drink, not to bathe, not to apply ointments, not to wear leather shoes, and not to engage in marital relations. However, Rashi in Masechet Shabbos adds another affliction, something called Knivas Yerek. They used to deliberately make a salad on Yom Kippur for Motzai Yom Kippur. At mincha time of Yom Kippur, they would cut up the vegetables for the meal that they would have after Yom Kippur. Now normally, we have a rule that you're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos or on Yom Tov for what's coming after Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's part of the challenge when you have a two-day Yom Tov and it's in the summer. It gets to be a challenge, you know. You have a two-day Yom Tov and you're living in London, 2 days of Shavuos, you know, till the first day of Yom Tov ends, can be 10 o'clock at night. So only then you start preparing for the next day of Yom Tov. It's very hard, but that's the law. The law is that you are not allowed to prepare on a Yom Tov or on a Shabbos for what's coming afterwards. But Shabbos and Yom Tov, everything's perfect. We're focusing on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But Rashi says, well, that's true. If you have a Yom Kippur, Rashi says that there is a law, or there was, at least in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, something called Knivas Yerek. They would deliberately make a salad at mincha time of Yom Kippur. And the reason why they would make the salad was to be tempted and to resist the temptation. That adds to the ta'anuas nafso sheichem. It adds to the afflicting of your soul that there's food in front of you. I can't do it because it's Yom Kippur. So Rav Soloveitchik told a fascinating story that in the 19th century, there was a great Lithuanian rabbi who spent Yom Kippur in Frankfurt, in Germany, at the home of Anshel Rothschild. Now, Anshel Rothschild was from the famous Rothschild family. He was a very wealthy banker, one of the wealthiest men of Europe. And there was a break on Yom Kippur before Mincha. So Baron Rothschild invites this rabbi to come to his home. The guest comes into the dining room and the whole table is set, the food. And then Mr. Rothschild pours wine into a kiddush cup. And the rabbi's about to drop and faint. What is this? He's an Orthodox man. This is not, a heretical family. What's going on? They're going to eat on Yom Kippur. And Mr. Rothschild picks up the kiddush cup and says, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the World, today is Yom Tov, so we should be making Kiddush. But because it's Yom Kippur, and the Torah says, Ta'anuas nafshos eichem, you should afflict yourselves. We're not going to have the meal, and we're going to return to Shul
We're going to say vidui, and we're going to daven mincha and ne'ilah. That's this pasuk. Ta'anuas nafshos seichem. Afflict yourself, according to Rashi. That's the idea of knivas yerek. That on Yom Kippur, there was a practice to deliberately make salad from Matzah Yom Kippur. And when cutting the vegetables, to be tempted, to say, but I can't, it's Yom Kippur. That was part of the afflicting of the soul that was done on Yom Kippur. Rav Soloveitchik has a very beautiful thought that we all know, the famous pasuk about Yom Kippur, where the Torah says that Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem, from this day he will atone for you, v'tahir eschem mikol chatoseichem, to purify you from all of your sins, lifnei Hashem titharu, before God you'll become pure. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that there are really two aspects to Yom Kippur. There's one aspect which is called kapara. Kapara is from the word kofer. Kofer is a cover. It's a cover to block punishment. Every sin deserves punishment, so we need to have atonement so that the punishments are blocked. But there's another element to sin. Sin changes the person. The person becomes less sensitive, less holy, more coarse because of sin. And so besides kapara, besides blocking the punishment, there's also a need for tahara, for the person to be purified, to transform the person. For example, the Rambam says it's the way of the Bali Tshuva, that they change their personalities. So if somebody had a problem that he was a gambler, he doesn't just put the deck of cards in a drawer and lock the drawer. He tears up the cards. He throws away the dice. He says, I'm never going to gamble, even if it's just to play a game of Monopoly without any money in it. I'm leaving the whole way of life entirely. I'm changing my name. That's already tahara. That's purification, to change the person. The end of Masechet Yoma is the famous passage. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, Ashreichem Yisrael, you're so fortunate, Jewish people. Lifnei mi atem mi taharim u mi metayir eschem. Before whom do you become pure, and who purifies you? Avichem sheba shamayim, your father in heaven. Ma mikvah metayir satmeim, just like the mikvah makes the impure pure. Afakadosh Baruch Hu metayir Yisrael, so to Hashem makes the Jewish people pure. So why was it Rabbi Akiva who teaches this lesson in particular? Rabbi Akiva is the one who says, Ashreichem Yisrael, you're fortunate Israel, lifnei mi atem mi taharim, before whom do you become pure? Why is this only Rabbi Akiva who teaches this lesson? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, Rabbi Akiva, we know, lived in the aftermath of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. He was the rabbi of that generation that was still mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. We have the famous Gemara, Masechta Makos. Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was walking with the other sages on Har Tzofim on Mount Scopus, and he saw from Mount Scopus, they saw a fox, walking out of the holiest of holies, and all the other rabbis started to cry. And Rabbi Akiva was laughing. They said, Rabbi Akiva, how could you laugh? He said, because the prophet said that he has two witnesses, Uriah and Zechariah. Uriah predicted horrible misfortunes. Tzion sade techaresh. Zion will be plowed over. And Zechariah predicted wonderful, wonderful blessings. Od yeshvuz kenimuz kenos berchovos Yerushalayim. Elders will yet sit in the streets of Jerusalem. Rechovos ha'ir yumalu yiladim yilados mesachakim. The city streets will be filled with children playing in front of the grandparents. The two prophecies go together. Because once we see the prophecy of Uriah coming true, the fox coming out of Kodesh HaKodashim, the Beis HaMikdash being plowed over, we know that the next prophecy is also coming true. We know that the prophecy of Od Yeshvuz Kenimuz Kenyos Berachovus Yerushalayim is also coming true. When we see one, we know the other one is coming true. Rabbi Akiva was an optimist, and he tried to inspire the people. So Rabbi Akiva says to the people, you're upset. We lost the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKodashim. We don't have Sarah Mishtaleach, we don't have Sarah Lashem. But all of that is about kapara. All of that is about atonement. It's about stopping the punishment. But there's another element to Yom Kippur. The other element to Yom Kippur is not about the punishments. It's about tahara. It's about purifying the personality. Lifnei mi atem mi taharim. Who do you need to become pure? You don't need a Beis HaMikdash. You don't even need karbanos. All you need is yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi mitzayir eschem avichem sheba shamayim. Your Father in heaven, he can give you the tahara. When you enter into his presence and you purify yourself before him, you can get that atonement. You can get that, not atonement, you can get that purification. and therefore don't feel this sense of total loss and losing out on the Beis HaMikdash. All right, these are just some thoughts on Parshas Achremos. I'd like to share some ideas on the next half of the Parsha. That is Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim begins with the very famous two psukim, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Hashem speaks to Moshe and he tells him, Daber al kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, speak to the entire community of the Jewish people, Vamarta aleim, and tell them, Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem elokeichem. So there are many questions on this verse, but one easy question right at the beginning, why the repetition? Daber al kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, speak to the entirety community, to the entirety of the community of Israel, Vamarta aleim, and explain to them. If he's speaking, he's already explaining. Why both? Daber and Vamarta. I saw a very beautiful thought that was suggested by my teacher, Rav Moshe Wolfson. How do you translate the phrase Kedoshim Tiyu? Most translate it as a directive. Kedoshim Tiyu, be holy, become holy people. However, if that's what it is, become holy, how do we understand the next line? Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I, Hashem, your God, am holy. But can we reach God's holiness? Because he's holy, we should be holy. He's beyond us. The Sfas Emes has another explanation. The Sfas Emes explains, Kedoshim Tiyu is not just a directive, it's a guarantee. It's a havtacha. You will be holy. Ultimately, you will be holy. You will be holy. You're going to get there. You're going to arrive at Kedusha. Why? Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I, Hashem, your God, am holy. And what is the core of the Jew? The core of the Jew is the peace of Hashem inside of us. That's the core. The chelak eloka mimal mamish, the neshama. That's the core of the Jew. So since the core is holy, we will end up being holy. Because that core is going to come out. It can't be repressed forever. When it comes out, the kedusha is going to be there. So there are two ideas in the phrase Kedoshim Tiyu. One, it's a command, Kedoshim Tiyu, be holy. And there's another part to it. It's a guarantee, Kedoshim Tiyu, you will be holy. Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. All these parshios that we have now during the Sfiras HaOmer are all about Kedusha. Kedusha in terms of holiness, Tahara, purity. We had it in Tazria Mitzora, all the laws of Tumah. We had it in Shemini. Food that's kosher, food that's not kosher, tumah, tahara. It's all about tahara and kedusha. It's all about purity and holiness. And in fact, there is a custom amongst the Hasidim and the Kabbalists that after they count Sfiras HaOmer, they declare what aspect of the Sfiros this day should purify. And they say, L'tahareinu l'kadshenu b'kedushas ha'elyona. Through our counting, we hope to become purified and to be sanctified. Tahara and kedusha. Those are the themes of these parshios, Tahara and Kedusha. So Kedoshim Tiyu is saying both, work hard to become Kadosh, and it takes a lot of work. But also know that you will succeed. Kedoshim Tiyu, you will be Kadosh. Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, because Hashem, your God, that's within you. That's your neshama, and he's Kadosh. So that's your inner essence. You're going to become Kadosh. Kedoshim Tiyu, and your Kedusha is going to come out. Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So maybe that's the two phrases, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, command them with a certain harshness. Rashi says, Dibur is harsh words. Daber al b'nei Yisrael, tell them with harsh words, work hard to be holy. And then Va'amarta aleim, Amira is Lashon Raka, soft words. Tell them, assure them, but don't worry. Don't be dismayed by setbacks. Kedoshim to you also means it's a guarantee you will become holy. Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. In Parshas Yisro, we learned that when we got to Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu told us, Va'atem tiyu li mamleches kodin, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. Through receiving the Torah, you're going to become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Mamleches kohanim, that's tahara, that's purity. The kohanim have the law. They can't go to a cemetery. They can't go to a funeral. They have to have tahara. They have to stay pure. The Gai Kadosh, and you'll become also a holy nation, a nation of Kedusha. That's what Torah is. Torah is the way in which we have both tahara and Kedusha. The purpose of Torah is for us to be people of tahara and Kedusha. So Parshas Kedoshim is telling us you have to work hard to get to Kedusha. Dabro B'nai Yisrael. but also va'amart aleihem, and also reassure them. Kedoshim tiyu, you will become kadosh, whether you like it or not, you will become kadosh. Rav Chaim HaKadosh explains that counting the 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer, the preparation for the Torah, is a form of purification. When a woman has her period of the month called Zov days, if she sees three days in a row of blood, she becomes a Zava Gedola, and she has a mitzvah to count 7 days, seven clean days. Nowadays, we tell all women who have a bleed from their uterus that they need to count 7 clean days and then go to the mikvah. The 7 clean days, that corresponds to the 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer. Each week of Sfiras HaOmer is like one clean day. And the Jewish people, when we left Egypt, we were like a woman who was a Zava. We were letting go of all the tumah, all the impurity, all the Avodah Zarah of Egypt, so that we could go to the mikvah and become pure with Kedusha and Tahara to accept the Torah on Shavuos. May we all merit during these times to reach Kedusha and Tahara and to remember that Hashem has guaranteed that we'll get there. There's an Amira, there's a soft word, there's a guarantee that Bezrat Hashem will get to purity and will get to holiness. Thank you all very much for joining.